Welcome to Let's Grow. This is a personal development podcast, and I'm your host, Jeremy A. Taylor, but you can call me JT. Whether it's a short message from yours truly or an interview with a special guest, this is your place for weekly encouragement to keep going and growing. My goal here is simple, to leave you better than I found you. And I know your time is valuable, so let's dive right in. Let's Grow podcast family. What is up? It's JT. I'm back and I have an incredible friend, someone I have a tremendous amount of respect for. You guys are going to love this gentleman and you're going to enjoy staying connected with him because of the work that he does, his heart for family, his heart for community. Man, I'm excited about it. But as always, just remember this. This is your place for real conversations with real people designed to bless you, help you grow, help you get better. We just want to leave you better than we found you. That's the name of the game here. And so without further ado, I have a great friend of mine residing in Somerset, Kentucky with me by the name of Cody Gibson. Cody is a husband, a father. This guy is an active community member. He's a brother in Christ. I'm trying to blow his head up here. He's a business owner, right? Cody is just he's a connector, man. He loves helping people, and that's why I have as much respect for him as he does. But Cody, thanks for hanging out with me today.
JT, good to see you, brother. Thanks for having me, man. I'll tell you, there's nothing better than a Friday morning and having your energy in the room.
I appreciate it, fam. Hey, I know you got a lot to get done. You know, you're on the front end of a new business. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And so I want to make sure I honor your time, honor our guest time as well. And let's dive right in. Cody, you and I met by way of me moving to Somerset a few years ago. And as I got plugged into the community and my wife and I began attending a church here called The Creek. We met you and your wife, Trista. And then alongside that, you know, you and I have some mutual connections working with folks in town as well. And our friendship grew from there. But Cody, tell folks a little bit about yourself and where you come from and what you stand for, man.
So, man, I'm from right here in Somerset. I've been blessed through life to do many different things. I started out in the military, following in my dad's footsteps, did that for a little bit of time, grew up a little bit, from then went on and worked for Coca-Cola, started into sales. That's where I really learned to sell, got my passion for selling. Then that opened a door to medical device sales, which led me to Chicago and then to Columbus. And, you know, I was in that time in my life where the small town just didn't have what I needed, or I didn't think it had what I needed, you know? But it takes sometimes getting out of that, you know, and we'll talk about this as we move on in the conversation, but it takes getting out of that comfort zone, seeing new things, meeting new people, trying new things. And that's what the Chicago Columbus period of my life did. And then I was able to come back to Somerset by way of medical device sales. And that's what I've kind of been doing for the last, 8 years. So I've had some different small businesses come and go in the meantime. But you know, that's just kind of where I'm at, man.
Yeah. So Cody, and you're married and have one child. Is that right? Little Jonah.
Little Jonah Bug, man.
Little Jonah Bug. How long have you and Trista known one another, Cody? Your wife.
So let's see. The story with Trista and I is really funny, man. You know, you hear a lot of people say you have to be best friends with your spouse. Like, we literally were best friends before we'd started dating. She was coming off a divorce. I was coming off just being a bachelor and never wanting to get married. So we both were adamant about not falling in love and not wanting anything more than just friendship. But it became too strong, man. Our friendship got too thick, and we ended up falling in love, man. And it's the best thing that ever happened to me by far.
Yeah, man, we love spending time with you guys. It's fun to see it's fun to see you guys in relationship with one another. You know, how you guys travel and how you guys spend time as a family. It's very inspiring. And you know, you talk about being friends and really not wanting much of anything. You know, I honestly had no intention of dating anybody when I met when I met my wife, Jayla, I was coming off of somewhat of a heartbreak. One part of the heartbreak was I tore my Achilles tendon. And so I was down and out. And that happened right around Valentine's Day. And the girl that I was dating at the time, we pretty much called it off. It was kind of a mutual deal, but also she was kind of shady in that process. So
she's not listening, bro.
No, hopefully not. I don't think she listened to the podcast. She probably don't want to hear my And so I was like, man, I'm not trying to date anybody. And then I met Jayla and I was like, man, come on.
We have another mutual friend, you know who I'm talking about, yeah. Was also never going to get married and recently put a ring on it. So yeah. you know, when the attraction's there and God puts it on your heart, man, you can't turn away from it.
Yeah, and me and Jayla, we got engaged within a year of dating. I think we were married in a grand total of like 14 months. I was like, man, I'm not trying to play around. Let's go. So Cody, you know, you talked a little bit about some of the businesses and your career background. I love how you mentioned you traveled out of town some, Chicago, Columbus, try this, try that. I think so many young people are intimidated by the idea of taking a risk. They don't have it all figured out, or they don't know what they want to do with the rest of their life, that they're scared to take a step to stretch themselves and grow. And you said you even went to the military as well. You know, there's just so many elements here to your story that we could talk about and unpack. But for the sake of time, I do want to ask, you know, do you feel like, Cody, it's kind of part of your nature to be an adventurer and explorer? And so you didn't have really any issues with trying all these new things? Or were you like, I just need to get out of town and just kind of find myself? Like, what was your headspace there?
I think it was a little of both, man. You know, a point I really wanted to touch on in our conversation today was your career or whatever you're doing at that time defining who you are. Yeah. And that was me, brother. That was me. Yeah. In high school, I was a football player. I was an athlete. Everywhere I'd go, hey, you had a great game last Friday. Hey, you had so many catches. You did this. You did that. Then yeah. I went on to college. It was the same thing. What are you doing in college? Oh, how's football going? And then I jumped over, and that part of my journey was over, and got into the military. And I only defined myself as a soldier for a certain period of time. Yeah. And you know, it really took Trista coming along, and especially Jonah coming along, to understand that your job or your career or your hobby is not who you are.
It does
not define you. You know, and that's a hard thing to swallow as a man, bro.
Yeah.
It's tough because you put so much time and dedication into something and people start to know you for that, but that's mm-hmm. not it. It's when you go home at night, it's, you know, how you treat your wife, how you love on your wife, and what kind of father you are or mother for the ladies out there listening. That's what matters, man. Yeah. And even a step further, what kind of son are you to your parents? Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting to the age where our parents are getting a little older and need a little help. And, you know, that's on us. They took care of us for a long time. So I just came at you with a lot there, but that was on me, bro.
No, that's good, because I knew you and I were going to talk about that and move in that direction. And I'm glad you just chose to dive right in, so we're not wasting any time. You know, if we're framing up the title of today's talk, you know, it's basically about not allowing your work to define who you are. Don't allow your work to determine your worth. And I actually posted that on social media a little while back. And I shared a quote from Twitter that I shared, and it said, your work is not your worth. Read that again. And so I said, you are more than what you get paid to do. And you shared it and you said, man, me and JT, we've been working on this one for a long time. Read it again and again. It was almost like that was something that you really gravitated to and said, man, this has kind of been a big deal in my life trying to work through this. Why do you think, Cody, why do you think that's something that you've wrestled with, allowing your work to identify who you are?
I hope my dad's not listening, bro, but I grew up in a home, man, that work was everything. Like, work was your value. Work yeah. was, you know, It was just the home I grew up in. I had grandparents that were hard workers. You know, we've just never had a lazy gene in our body.
Sure.
You know, and I tell you, JT, it was a struggle. And, you know, we're having real conversations, right? So let's have a real one. It was a struggle at first when I got to know you. I didn't understand how you don't work a 9-to-5, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that. I had to get to know you to understand that life is not about that 9-to-5.
Yeah.
You take a day every couple of weeks to stay home with Miles. And dude, that was just to me.
Yeah.
Like I sat on that and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And, you know, I growing up in a home that if you took a Friday off, you were kind of lazy, you know?
Sure.
You know, trying to shape your mindset that that's not the case. You're actually a good father for staying home a day from work. And, you know, all your customers are going to be okay, but your son won't be if he doesn't spend enough time with his father.
I heard that.
So, you know, that was tough, but you know, that's the beauty about getting older and maturing and gaining new relationships, new friendships, other people to model your life after.
Yeah, I mean, and I appreciate you saying that because, like you said, it took some time for us to get to know one another, have some conversations, for you to understand my heart and my intention and my focus there. That when it's time to work, it's time to work. When it's time to rest, time to rest. And of course, we have a really difficult time blending that. And for me, Cody, what also a lot of folks don't know is that by working from home for almost a decade now, upwards of a decade now, it's taken me a really long time to find that balance myself. Because since work and home blends together, it's hard for me to define the lines and create the boundaries of when to say, okay, now I'm going to work. Now I'm going to do something at home, or now I'm going to spend time with Jayla. Now I'm going to spend time with Miles. And so that's been challenging for me. A lot of people may see me, you know, one day I'm traveling to a speaking engagement. The next day I'm working on content at home, or I may post some things on social media. And so, like you said, the traditional 9-to-5 doesn't really exist in the way that I do my work, but I do try to set up a somewhat of a schedule that allows me to lock in and be as productive as I can, but I still struggle with it. I really do. So for me, it's really been a holistic approach of working through my work doesn't define me, but also I need to make sure that I set specific time blocks aside to get my work done. That way I can also be a present husband, a present father. You know, it's really kind of ties into what you said. You know, when Trista came along, when Jonah came along, it helped you begin to realize that, man, I want to be famous in my home more so.
Yeah, that's a great, that's it, man.
I want to be famous in my home, right? I want to help as many people as I can. I want to build a great business. I want to bless people through my work. But at the end of the day, you know, I heard a quote a long time ago said, success really isn't success at all without success at home, right?
Well, and everything good comes with a price, right?
That's right.
So it's about, you know, you got to sit down and think, like, is good to me success outward to the community, or mm-hmm. is good to me success at home?
Yeah.
And that price ultimately is going to be, you're going to, especially in a small community, you just can't do everything and make everybody happy. And, you know, once you kind of understand that and that, you know, that doesn't define your success either. You kind of are able to move along and become better at home.
Yeah.
You know, and you and I have talked, you know, we talk quite a bit about things in life, and I really struggled, you know, as you mentioned, in my hat. I moved out of the medical device field after 8 years and made a jump and started this roofing franchise, roofing, windows, gutters, and siding. A foreign world to me.
Yeah.
However, the world was aligning right. I knew a guy that owned a company, was making a killing doing it. My dad had just retired. We have always wanted to do a business together. We've always kind of done it independently. So we wanted to build something together. And I tell you, man, it was tough because I got into that rut again. Even after you and I had talked so much about it, I had gotten that rut again of I was a medical device salesman. That was it. And, you know, it took a lot to swallow. And that price we just talked about, you have to pay of, all right, I'm turning away from this. I'm doing, you know, this is a job that I would get 3-4 calls a week of other people wanting to get into that field. So you kind of, you feel wanted, you feel like you're helping people, but I wasn't enjoying it. You know, I thought I was helping people because I was stepping inside four walls of the hospital every day.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case either, because I was so unhappy when I got home.
Yeah.
Now I, you know, stepping outside that comfort zone, walking into a new walk of life, in at 34, you know, that's tough too.
Yeah.
Cause we're conditioned so much that, you know, whatever you graduate wanting to do in college is what you're supposed to do your whole life.
Yeah.
So I'm touching on so much stuff here, but it's, no, that's good. But it's been a crazy couple of years, man, but just such a blessing. I feel like there's an elephant that's just been lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah. And so that's good, man. We're talking about, you know, the just embracing the idea that your work doesn't determine your worth. And then on top of that, the stigma that you have to do one thing and stick with it. And sadly, because a lot of people end up doing that, they become identified by that particular occupation, that job. And a lot of folks are scared to take a risk, man. They're, you know, so many people have dreams and goals and aspirations and want to start this business, or they want to transition and learn a new skill, or they want to maybe go back to college and get another certification to move in a different direction. And they're so scared to do it, Cody. Like, what gave you the confidence to finally say, I'm going for it?
Honestly, man, I walked out of an operating room after something that was out of my control went wrong. And I was at my wit's end. I was down and out, and I wasn't enjoying what I was doing. I was a butthole when I came home, and my family's awesome. Like, they are just, you know, man, they're great. And I kind of took a step back and realized, like, I hadn't been over to do anything at my mom's in so long to help her out. My kid was like really attached to his mom because I wasn't here when I was home. Mm-hmm. And ultimately the guy who owns the company that we franchised, he called me and just said, man, you're a chained up dog. And he said, you need to be taken to a farm and let run wild. And that was another one of those, you know, me and you have had those enlightening moments. That was another one of those enlightening moments, man. So honestly, I don't know that there was like a trigger, a switch flipped, but I think it was just ultimately a lot of things built. And then finally it was, there was so much unhappiness that I didn't care what the outside world thought. I had to take care of stuff inside my own four walls, you know?
Yeah, that's huge. You know, starting to realize that, man, what is this job doing to me? What is this situation doing to me? Or for other people outside of the workspace, what is this relationship doing to me? What are these people that I'm spending time with? What are they doing to me right now? Granted, obviously, there were some controllables there. Cody could still control his attitude and his effort at work and making sure he did his job and yada, yada, yada. But we're talking about things that ultimately were outside of your control, and realizing that, you know what, I don't have to stay in this situation if it's putting me in an unhealthy space and it's contributing to me not being the man that I need to be at home. And, you know, you evaluating that is a big deal. You know, I think for some people, you know, either the encouragement and the excitement of wanting to do something new is weighs heavy. That's one kind of burden. Or like you're talking about, the burden of, man, I'm just not in a good space. And over time, I've gotten to a place where enough is enough. And if I don't make a change, I'm going to start going backwards. I'm going to start going backwards. Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, this is going to start affecting me.
I had slipped into that. You know, I was into that routine of waking up negative. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear the Sunday scaries. My stomach would hurt on Sundays. I just didn't. Yeah. Ugh. You know, now I'm up at 5:15 back in the gym. You know, I'm ready to go. And it's cool, man. I get to get up every day. I had this also the stigma in my head that, you know, and you know me, I'm a servant at my core, man. if it's my community, if it's even at my job, I want to serve others. So I felt when I was fixing ankles and, you know, we were fixing shoulders, we were getting people back in the game. We were getting people back on their feet. I was helping people. Right. And I was so blinded by that stigma of that's who I was that I couldn't see that in this new transition, I'm helping people more than just that select few that's in a hospital. Now I get to help a lot of people who are, you know, if your house is leaking, that's a big deal.
Totally.
And so there's lots of people with that, a lot more than with broken ankles and stuff like that. So, you know, it, and like you said, it's a mindset. You got to shift your mind to, you know, A, how can I be positive today? And also, how can I serve those that are around me?
Yeah. Man, you mentioned something that I want to backtrack on and touch because I think it has to be included in this conversation. You said, I got to a point where I just didn't care what other people thought. Man, listen, Cody, I would venture to say one of the larger reasons why people don't take risk, why people don't focus on what maybe they need to focus on to keep themselves healthy. One of the larger reasons is people are so worried about what other people are going to think if they do something different or if they change their schedule and you're no longer available to them in ways that you once were, right? What are people going to think of me if I make changes, if I start saying no respectfully so that I can set some boundaries? Like, what are people going to think of me? Cody, has that been something as a servant at heart and I would venture to say borderline people pleaser like myself? Is that something that you've wrestled with, Cody?
Oh, well, yeah, man. It's funny. There was there's a little video going around on Instagram last week of a girl. She was out at like Texas Roadhouse with her friends eating dinner and her in-laws called and she had already ordered her food and they were like, hey, do you want to go to dinner? And she gets up and leaves her friends because she was such a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And my wife sends that to me. She's like, hey, this is you. So I'm like, oh, but yeah. No, man, it's and I learned this from you, but you have to practice saying no.
Yeah.
And go ahead and get in your head. Even if you say no in a respectful manner, people are going to receive it unrespectful.
Yeah. Especially people who don't know your heart for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I think not internalizing some of that stuff is big. But if I say anything on this podcast, man, I hope this is what the listeners get from this. Get you a friend who cares enough to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Jeremy's my friend like that. And like, you know, I'm just letting the listeners know, like, if I'm having a bad day with this stuff, I call you.
Yeah.
And we talk through it and you know, so if you don't have somebody like that in your life, find them and break down those, you know, as men, we have a tough time having real conversations.
Heard that.
Find a bro that you can have a real conversation with. And you know, at the end of the day, that they have your best interest at heart and not an ulterior motive. And once you do that and you can start listening to somebody who's looking at your life rather than, you know, with you in life.
Yeah.
And that you trust that person, it changes the game because you now have a confidant that may not always tell you what you want to hear, but is going to tell you what you need to hear.
Totally. Totally.
And you did that with me on learning to say no, man, because, you know, you were watching me struggle and just running myself ragged, saying yes to everybody. And ultimately your family's the one that suffers.
Yeah.
So you feel comfortable saying no to them.
Totally. And Cody, you know, first off, I'm grateful that we have built a friendship, that you've given me the opportunity to speak into your mind and your heart in that way with loving accountability, respect, but the feeling is mutual, right? It's reciprocated. You know, Cody, you know, gives me honest feedback and assessment as well. It's not just a one-way street here. And so I think it's important, as you were talking to the listener, saying, find you somebody that you can confide in. And it's really tough for guys to do so. I can't agree with that anymore, that people need, we're communal beings, we're relational beings, but we do a really good job of getting reclusive and kind of getting trapped in our own headspace, thinking about what we're thinking about, and because we're stubborn, we think we can go it alone. So all that being said, I think the conversations, Cody, that you're talking about have really helped you in this regard. It's been just as uplifting and encouraging and therapeutic for me as well, because these are things that I had to grow through in order for me to be able to speak that truth into somebody else's life. I don't really understand why there's such a stigma around that, right? But because when you say no, there's going to be people that, like you said, get disappointed or they hear it the wrong way. But I also believe that whenever you consistently say no to protect the right things for the right reasons, ultimately you're earning people's respect, right? You're earning people's respect.
And there's a sense of a lot of honesty that comes with that too.
Yeah.
You can say no and tell them the truth. You know, like, hey, I need to be home today. Like, if you don't understand that, then sorry.
But, yeah. That's not on you. Like, that's not right. You don't have to explain that. And another thing is, because of that unspoken shame and guilt that we feel telling someone no, thinking that we're letting them down, we feel the need to explain ourselves all the time when we say no, do we not?
Yep.
So I'm going to decline an invitation to this event and I have to explain what else I'm doing or why I'm not going. And that shouldn't be the case, right? If Cody can't make it, then Cody doesn't have to tell me. If Cody can't make it, Cody doesn't have to tell me what all he's doing. I should just respect the fact that my friend can't make it, right? So with that being said, Cody, I'm gonna share a couple quick things that I got from a book as we close down here and kind of get your feedback here on a book entitled The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which kind of ties into this work, on the go all the time, busyness as a badge, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. And he drops what he says are 20 things that ideas for slowing down your overall pace of life. One that he offers here is, I'm not going to go through all 20, just a couple here. One that he offers here is driving the speed limit. What if we slow down and adjust our pace of life by driving the speed limit? I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's probably about 98 or probably about 2%. I flipped that number there. About 2% of the population that doesn't drive over the speed limit, right? We're always in a hurry to get there, get where we're going. Another one that I want to plug here is this is turn your smartphone into a dumb phone. I think this is pretty hard to do. Turn your smartphone into a dumb phone in order to be a little bit more distraction free. But basically what he's talking about here is taking email off your phone. Is that something you think you could do, Cody? That'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it?
Man, I tell you, and I just started it probably last week. I try to put my phone's usually dead by the time I get home or close to it. So I've been putting it on the charger and trying to forget about it, at least so I'm like present for at least an hour or two.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
Yeah. He mentions taking social media off the phone, taking email off the phone, deleting notifications, yada, yada, yada. Basically, I think what he's saying here is moving in a direction of being more intentional about your phone, because I think we could agree that it's probably the number one distraction in our lives.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. In every facet.
Totally. And then a couple others here that I want to plug here. He mentioned talking about getting rid of the TV. I've talked about that before. I went actually quite a while without having a TV in my house. And honestly, I read more books than I'd ever read, had better conversations. But here's one other thing that I want to mention here. Doing one task at a time. Because I know how Cody's brain works. And Cody is a master multitasker. And so one of the reasons I'm so crazy about this is that God is omnipresent, but we're not. Multitasking is just sleight of hand of switching back and forth between a lot of different tasks. But the truth is that I think we pretty much do them all poorly instead of doing one thing well at a time. Cody, how do you feel about multitasking?
I think if you remember the first time we sat down and talked, I think I told you I was great at multitasking because it allowed me to do better in life.
to get more done than most people.
More done. Yeah. So, no, multitasking doesn't work, bro. No matter what people tell you, no matter whatever, you know, I don't know if you've ever read Good to Great, but there's the hedgehog method out of that book. Put your head down and go forward as hard as you can. And that's what I've had to do with tasks, man. I pick one. I usually pick the hardest one first, put my head down and go after it. And then to the next biggest and so on and so on. And so that way, by the Friday, by the end of the week, your big tasks are out of the way. Yeah. And hopefully your little tasks are all that's left when the sun's shining like today. There might be a round of golf that needs to be played at 4 o'clock.
No doubt. So in closing, I like what you said there about the multitasking, using that example, Good to Great. Great book recommendation there, by the way. Multitasking is the drive to be more than we are, to control more than we do, to extend our power and our effectiveness. But such practice yields a divided self with a full attention given to nothing. Really, we're creating stress inside of our lives, in our life, in our mind. That we don't need to create by trying to do that, trying to be all things to all people, do too many things at once. Cody, I've really enjoyed our conversation, man. Is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with today that's on your mind, on your heart?
Man, if I, you know, just going back and touching on some things, take some risks in your life. Even if you're 34 and you want to go a different direction, take a risk. If it provides that much more happiness for you and your family, take that risk. Step outside your comfort zone. And that could be having tough conversations with other men. That could be, like leaving a job that you, concreted your identity into. Take some risks and don't let whatever you're doing define you. It's bull crap to do that, man. we are good men. So good men takes care of their families first and then they take care of everything else. We've got to do that. And last but not least, get a good bro to talk things out with. Find your Jeremy Taylor in life. and everybody else, y'all stay away. Jeremy, I've already got Jeremy locked down. he's highly paid to untwist my head. So y'all find you another brother. But I'm just kidding. Jeremy, thanks for having me, brother. You asked me to do this. I've been looking forward to it. Some of the other guests you've had, Adam Sheridan, the mayor, man, just to be on here after those guys is something special for me. So thank you.
Appreciate it, Cody, man. I've enjoyed it. You know, I like how you recapped everything that we talked about and really kind of closing it down with that idea. Just like I said earlier, I don't think I got the quote right when I was trying to say it, but success at work without success at home really isn't success at all. That doesn't mean that we're going to be a parent. That doesn't mean we're going to be a perfect spouse. That doesn't mean that our house is going to be all well and put together or flow or function better than anyone else's, but it should mean that we're focusing on putting that first than anything else. And when we do that, that sets us up to be more fulfilled in our work anyway, right? More fulfilled, more energized, more motivated, more passionate, because we do have our house in order. So all that being said, Cody, man, I appreciate you. We are brothers. I love you, my man. Real quick, let everybody know in your service area how they can get in touch with you and learn more about Barrier Roofs if they're looking for the services you guys provide.
All right. So if you have a roof leak or if you just have an issue, reach out to us. We're on Facebook. I'm Cody Gibson. I run everything from my personal page. We have barrierroofs.com. Or hit me up on email, cody@barrierroofs.com. Or last but not least, my phone number, 606-305-2352. We do free quotes, and I love taking care of people. So give me a call, and we'll get you figured out.
I like it. I like it. And I need to get one of the fresh hats, my man. I need to swing by
That's right.
So with that being said, guys, this has been another edition of the Let's Grow podcast. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to introduce you to my good friend, Cody. I know this conversation blessed someone today. Like, subscribe, share, do all those things. But before you do that, just remember this. Don't just go through life, grow through life, and everybody can encourage somebody. Love you guys, and we'll catch you all on the next episode. Hey, thanks again for listening in. If you enjoyed this episode and you received some value, could you do me a favor and share it with a friend?
If so, I really, really, really appreciate you helping me get the word out about this podcast. As a reminder, this is your place for a shot of encouragement, and my goal is to simply leave you better than I found you. So, my friend, I certainly hope that was the case for you today.